Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper and fan of all. In episode 8, we're visiting a property that I personally have loved since I was a young teenager. Therefore expect a greater than average amount of screeing as I chat with Gray about Sherlock Holmes and the ship of Holmes and Watson. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net, that's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, reading, and gifting, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song,
spoilers.
Gray's perspective on Sherlock Holmes fandom is rather interesting, having originated in fanfiction, and it dovetails nicely with my own love for Holmes and Watson, which is almost entirely book canon based. Interestingly enough, neither one of us is very involved in the many adaptations, but we share a deep love for fandom and fanworks and get distracted a few times, hopefully in an enjoyable fashion. I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea. Hi Gray, how nice of you to join me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm always excited to talk about Sherlock Holmes, so...
Oh, God, I love Sherlock Holmes. I am a Sherlock Holmes hipster, thank you.
Oh, okay, is that the word?
I think so. I like the original stories as opposed to like the new remakes and the new TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, so I can like, no, I like the old stuff. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, so we can bond. We can totally bond. But before we get to that, maybe you would like to introduce yourself a little bit.
Yes. So I go by The Lord Grey on Tumblr because I am only slightly full of myself. You can call me Grey, you can call me Your Majesty, I really don't care.
Oh, okay. but you're not doing the royal we then.
I will not use the royal we.
Okay.
I mean, I can if you want me to.
I think that might get confusing.
Yes. So I live in the United States. I'm in college. I go to a fancy pants school. And, so I did get nominated by a friend, and I know this person through a fan fiction class that we took together.
Oh, nice. So you're both kind of Akka fans then.
Yes. Yes, we are.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We already mentioned the love for Sherlock Holmes, but do you have any other fandoms that you're in?
Yes. I actually got into fanfiction, Lord, I was like 12 or 13, and I was reading things I really should not have been reading.
Haven't we all?
But my very first fandom was Harry Potter, and I am still, like, you know, everyone's first fandom, but it was, like, mind-blowing and life-changing for me. I still love Harry Potter. Like, my entire room is covered with Harry Potter memorabilia. I just love it so much. I know this isn't the Harry Potter episode, but I love Harry Potter.
You could have chosen Harry Potter. It was totally up to you, so.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like that's a little overdone.
I'm definitely more comfortable with Sherlock Holmes. I'm one of the three people on the internet that have never been in Harry Potter fandom.
That's okay. That's okay. My roommate isn't into Harry Potter either, and it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I guess I was a bit old when they came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I never even finished reading all of them. Don't kill me.
I won't kill you. I might just tell you everything about it, though. But that's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. What type of fan are you? Do you have, like, an OTP, or do you multi-ship, or?
Oh, I am a total multi-shipper. I don't really believe in OTPs because there's so many ways that so many characters can get together. Like, yeah. I have to ship all of them. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, and all
that's
of my
fandom.
That's
a controversial fandom. Stance to have on the shipping podcast.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because I've been just kind of blithely assuming that we'd be talking Holmes and Watson, but we might not
be. Oh, of course.
Be.
Oh, no. Of course we are. Of course we are. Okay. I think, so the reason I chose Sherlock Holmes specifically is that this is the fandom in which I get closest to having an OTP.
Oh, okay.
This is the closest I get to having an OTP. And that Holmes and Watson, like, forever. They are the best couple ever. Anyway.
Yes, they absolutely are.
Yes.
So, but are you in, like, one fandom at a time? Or are you also multi-fandom?
Oh, I am multi-fandom all the way.
Yeah.
I tend to have, like, fandoms that I'm more into than others at certain times, but I'm always in multiple fandoms at a time. Right now, I'm mostly in... Well, I'm always in the Harry Potter fandom, like, always. Yeah. I've been in the Harry Potter fandom for basically my entire life. But right now, I'm also really into the Marvel fandom. I especially like Iron Man because Tony Stark forever.
Yes.
That's also slightly controversial. But I'm also really into the Ultimates comics, which is, like, one of the weird offshoots of the comics. I got into that, like, a month ago, and I am so into it right now.
Oh, you're completely full of new fandom NRE.
Yes. Oh, my God. I think I've read, like, half the Ultimates fix on AO3 right now. There's, like, I am this close to, you know, opening a new Word document and starting an Ultimates fic. But I'm also really into,
you know, you could.
I could.
There's nothing shinier than new fandom.
There isn't, but I have 20 million other whips that are begging for my attention.
So, there's always room for more.
There's always room for more. But I'm also...
the woman with the massive whip folder.
Yes. Oh, man. But I am also currently really into Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. So is that also one of your, like, long-time loves?
No, actually. I got into Sherlock Holmes relatively recently. I got into it about a year ago through the fan fiction class, actually. Like, okay. I'd read Sherlock Holmes before, but I wasn't in the fandom, really, until I got into the class, and then I read some Sherlock Holmes fic, and then I fell in love.
But you're not into the new adaptations, you said.
No. I will read fic of the new adaptations.
Yes.
But I've tried to watch them, and I have not gotten past season one of any of them.
That is fascinating.
Elementary is my favorite. I did like it. Kind of, mostly. But I don't even read elementary fic, really. I mostly read, like, the stereotypical, like, John and Watson. Holmes and Watson fic.
Yeah, because with Sherlock Holmes, we are in the kind of... there's not a lot of fandoms where we have such a huge amount of canon, like, you know.
Exactly.
All the way from the original stories to elementary and...
Yes.
Or the Japanese one, Miss Sherlock.
Yes. I actually have not gotten my hands on that one yet, but I've read and heard so much about it, and I really, really want to.
Yeah, I've seen about half of it, and it's really good.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah, you can find it. I think I found it on, like, Dailymotion or something.
Okay. Okay, great. This is a pro-pirating podcast, thank Lord. Okay.
Oh, God, yes. Not pirating if there's no other way to get it.
Exactly. Like, if you want me to pay for the content, let me pay for the content. Yes. Like, I'm trying to give you my money, please.
Yes. Yes. It's a, I think it's a Netflix show, but it's a Netflix Asia show.
Yeah. I'm just like,
it's not like,
I'm already really paying for Netflix. I will pay you more money to get more Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason. I actually canceled my Netflix plan because the Swiss Netflix sucks.
Oh, God. Yeah. A lot. I mean,
or is it Hulu? Is it Hulu Asia or Netflix Asia? It's one of these. Anyway, there's no way for us to get it legally.
In that case.
So Dailymotion it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in... Yeah. But yeah, that's definitely one of... I think that might be the latest adaptation.
Let's see. Yeah, it is, because it's original release 2018. Yeah, that seems to be the latest.
Yeah. So are you just typing up, like, Dailymotion?
I may or may not have that open in my browser right now. Maybe.
Yes. Yes. Good, good. I'm always happy Thank to you. Share. But yeah, so when you talk about Sherlock Holmes, how would you introduce this massive juggernaut of a fandom, seeing that it's kind of like the grandfather of fandoms?
I actually would start with the short story collections, because I feel like it's short, it's easy. If you don't like it, then you don't like it, and you didn't sink however much time into a novel. I like the serialized ones. I like, of course, like the classic, you know, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes is the best, in my opinion.
Yes.
And so I think starting off with those is the best introduction to the fandom. And then if they like those, or if they're into the plot or they're into the story, but they aren't particular fans of reading, or they're not huge fans of the way that characterization necessarily, or the way that the old timiness of the language, then I actually would direct them to the Sherlock Holmes TV show. Even though I don't watch it, I am.
And which one? Which Sherlock Holmes TV show? Are we talking Jeremy Brett? Because that would be my.
I would give them the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock Holmes.
So I am modern all the way.
So disappointed. I don't like it, but that's what I would introduce them to, because I feel like Yeah. It's modern. It's easy to access. Yeah. It's understandable. And if you don't like it, but it's easy to tell what you don't like about it. So if you don't, if you know what you don't like about
it. And it's only like, there's not so much. I mean, like, you invest a couple of hours and then you can tell if you like it or not.
Whereas other stuff is harder to find, or you have to invest longer to see whether you like it or not. So even though it's my least favorite Sherlock film TV show adaptation, that is what I would actually recommend to new people getting into the fandom.
Yes. I actually really liked the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were, because it was, that was, you know, it was so different. That was like the first new Sherlock Holmes adaptation in a long, long time.
Yes.
Outside the, I think it was about at the same time as the Ritchie movies.
Okay.
I think. But yeah, but it was, you know, it was a completely new thing. And I kind of liked the adaptation in the beginning, especially because I kind of, the Sherlock in, at the start kind of meshed quite well with my Sherlock Holmes, like the one that I got from the books.
Okay.
Again. That kind of changed. I haven't seen the last series. Kind of bowed out. It lost me, I must admit. But yeah, but I would definitely say people should check it out, like at least the first couple seasons.
Yes.
And it's all just movies, like, you know, movie length. So yeah. And so what do you think of the, like, just talking personal bias, Jeremy Brett's adaptation?
It's fine. It's good. Like I said, I am way more into print form Sherlock adaptations than visual form.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm a hipster. There's no way for me to avoid this label.
Yeah, I only saw the Jeremy Brett one like a couple years ago. I didn't know it existed before that. So yeah. Yep. Because it wasn't something that was on TV when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, I guess, because it's so British.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we don't get the same TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
We did, because, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have that many TV channels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm old.
I am not old. Although I feel old sometimes. That said, I am fully willing to accept and say that Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes is the canonical film Sherlock Holmes. Well, like canonical television Sherlock Holmes. I am totally willing to say that. I just don't like TV adaptations of Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. Okay. So then let's talk more about the original Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yes.
Holmes.
Ah, my man.
And about, of course, the ship. The big ship.
The big ship.
The only one.
Yes, it is really the only ship. Holmes and Watson. I shipped them in so many different ways and so many different iterations, honestly. So talking fanfic, there are so many interesting headcanons of their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
Yes, because... Yeah.
No, go on.
Just because, like, in the, like the way that the stories are written, they're really quite often they're just like sketches of the characters.
Yes,
you know? they leave quite a lot of gaps for us to fill.
Exactly, exactly, which is like prime fandom material right there.
Absolutely, I mean, which, you know, just we're not the only. I mean, there have been so many Sherlock Holmes novels and stuff.
Oh my god, there have been so many.
That's been going on for a long, long time.
Yes, and it's great because Sherlock Holmes is public domain, and so there's just so much stuff that can be done with it by basically everyone.
Mm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And of course, by us shippers as well.
Yes.
Which I think I've only seen one or... Yeah, I think I've only seen one like professional novel that with them as a romantic couple.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I didn't know that existed.
Either it's a novel or a short story collection. It's one or the other. I know I've read some.
But right, wait, what is this professionally produced?
I know
Holmes
I know there's
and Watson.
I know there's at least there's one. I remember reading it. I can't remember the title.
Okay. If you
I remember. Yes.
Let me know.
And I will put it in the show notes. I will look it up.
Okay.
So that's my homework.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I will find it, I promise. But yeah, okay. But usually that's left up to us, right?
Yes.
Which, yeah. But the relationship. Yeah. But the relationship is completely like fundamental to the canon, isn't it?
Of course. And even though canon doesn't, personally, I say the canon does ship Holmes and Watson, mm-hmm. but because of the way, like, because of the time that it was written in and the way it writes them, the canon fully embraces the intimate relationship between Watson and Holmes,
yeah.
right? Yeah. It is like, these are two bachelors and yeah. they are, they didn't have, it's difficult in modern times to write a story mm-hmm. of two men being this intimate without it having connotations. I yeah. enjoy those connotations. I will ship it.
Yeah.
But having that amount of intimacy in the canon material, I find makes it so much richer mm-hmm. for fan fiction.
Isn't that like what they call homosocial?
Yes.
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, but yeah, it's a very small step going from there to full on shipping.
Exactly. Exactly.
Especially for our modern eyes.
Mm-hmm. But it also makes it really easy. And if so, I've seen a lot of really good fics with mm-hmm. an asexual Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yes.
Or non-sexual relationships between mm-hmm. Holmes and Watson, which is not something that happens in a lot of fandoms because there isn't as much material for it.
Yeah.
But there's so much of that in Sherlock fandom. And, I mean, it makes me very happy. It delights mm-hmm. me.
And in your case, it's quite interesting because you came to it via fan fiction, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So you, yeah, well, I've barely read any fan fiction. I'm completely, my love is purely stems from the novels and the
oh,
short
wow.
stories.
Okay. That is really fascinating. I would never say
that I'm in Sherlock Holmes fandom. I'm just
really?
A huge fan.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that distinction. That's really interesting.
Because for me, fandom implies interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's, yeah. That's just me. That's just me. Which is why I'm really, you know, I think it's really cool to talk with someone who actually knows the fandom side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just something that I don't even know. Is there still a very active, like, novel base? I mean, like, Arthur Conan Doyle-based?
No.
Fandom?
No.
No.
At least not on AO3.
Is it all, like, one either Sherlock or Elementary?
It's mostly Sherlock, actually. It's mostly Sherlock. Just Sherlock okay. fic, which yeah. is fine. It's good, actually. I do find that the fic tends to read a lot like Arthur mm-hmm. Conan Doyle in modern day. And again, despite yeah. my dislike of the, I will stop being a negative Nancy. Despite my feelings about like visual adaptations of Sherlock Holmes, I do find that fic that's based on Sherlock is really good and relatively true to the spirit of the original short stories. At least I feel like it definitely makes okay. me, it scratches my itch anyway for fic mm-hmm. based on the short stories.
So, I mean, what do you want from fan fiction after reading the stories?
I want fluffy, domestic character study, relationship studies mm-hmm. of Sherlock and Watson. which is very different from what I want in most of my other fandoms. But, but the fandom, not the fandom, the canon itself already has so much tension and drama in the way that I like. Mm-hmm. And because of mm-hmm. how this is really my only mystery fandom, I find that I want more person and relationship focus in my fic as opposed to plot focus.
I can totally see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what we don't get.
Yes.
In canon, right?
Yes. We get a lot of intimacy between the two men, but only within mm-hmm. a professional context. And I want that intimacy in a more private context.
So, yeah. So, did you, after going to that class and with the fan fiction, did you then go back to the canon and see it in a different light? Or
yes, yes.
Yeah?
So if it weren't for that class, I don't think I would be into any fanfic or any of the fandom because it is so focused on Sherlock, on that adaptation. Mm-hmm. But I read the canon several years ago, and then I took the class, and then I read part of the class, part of the assignments were reading fics on AO3.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I got to read fanfic as homework, and it was the best time of my entire life. It was great.
That must be quite a popular class, I imagine.
It was only offered the once. It was a student-initiated class, so it was taught by students, and so it only happened once, and I will carry the memories with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, nice.
We're trying to get it to happen again, but it's a really annoying bureaucratic process, and we haven't been able to get to do it again.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's a pity. But at least you got to enjoy it, and it kickstarted a whole new fandom for you.
It did. But so after having read the canon a couple years ago and then taking the class and reading fic and then analyzing the fic in the context of both the new adaptations and the old adaptations and within the context mm-hmm. Of social commentary, I became way more into reading fic that was based on Sherlock because I could relate it more deeply to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And it's because of how generally vague the descriptions are of the actual mystery that they're trying to solve in fic. Like, people very rarely go through and do a very detailed, a very detailed crime scene and have Sherlock actually go through the details of solving a case because A, we don't know how to do that, and B, we don't know how to do that.
Be writing mystery novels.
Exactly. And so it's vague enough that it feels like my brain will just fill in the blanks. And it's like, no, this is totally like a canon case and they're totally solving it. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, this other stuff is happening. And they're having deeply emotional conversations. Obviously.
Yes.
That's what they do with their free time. They have deeply emotional conversations.
But back to canon. Do you have any like favorite moments there that like, I know we get very, I mean, yeah, the relationship is there, mm-hmm. even if there's not a lot of like domesticity.
Yes. So this isn't going to sound great to you, but I am at the point in Sherlock Holmes fandom where the details of canon and the details of the various adaptations and common tropes and fandom have all blended together into one monstrosity in my head.
Yeah.
And so I am not actually entirely 100% sure what's what, but I do remember very specifically in the Sherlock Holmes short stories, there was a specific short story that involved a snake and figuring out how various people were dying of poisoning but there was no evidence of anyone going through. There was no evidence.
The speckled band.
Yes,
right?
That one. Yes, thank you. That one, that one, like the click of, there's a snake and it's going through, well, not the not the plumbing, but there was a snake that is going through not normal channels. What was the snake going through? Through the ventilator. Well, thank you, the ventilator.
The ventilation and then down a fake bell.
Yes.
Rope.
And then he hits it with a riding crop of all things. So that one is that is a particular favorite of mine that unfortunately does not have very many adaptations in fic. Although now obviously I should write one.
Yes, absolutely. That's when if something doesn't exist yet, write it yourself.
I literally just opened a new Word document.
Very good. So you write yourself?
I do write. Yeah. am a fanfic writer. I don't do art. I don't really. I've sometimes do like aesthetics or mood boards, but I mostly write. Not that I finish or post most of the things I write, but I do occasionally write.
And in with Sherlock Holmes, so do you write Sherlock? I mean BBC Sherlock?
No, I write the tag I normally use, well, the tag I would use if I ever posted any of it, is Sherlock Holmes General Fandom, I think is what it's called. One sec, I can look this up right now. But it's basically like a generalized...
All media, whatever it's called.
Yeah, all media, thank you. So it's a generalized, like, I will take the parts that I like, but it's overall Sherlock and it's overall Sherlock and Holmes.
Yeah. But is it set in modern days or
yeah, actually most of the stuff I write is set in modern day. Mostly because it's easier to write and it feels more true to how I'm interpreting the characters. Because I do feel like one of the really wonderful things about Sherlock and why it's had so many adaptations is that at its core, it's not actually bound to the time period. So it's really easy to take Sherlock Holmes and put it in a new environment, in a new setting, and have it be true at its core and yet still explore different themes. So I actually do normally write Sherlock Holmes in modern day, mostly because I want them to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, which obviously they could have been back then, but it would have been a lot more difficult.
Yes, it would be a completely different story.
Yeah, you would have to either include like period, what the tag, period typical homophobia.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah. So are you more of a Holmes or more of a Watson
kind of person? Me personally?
Well, you know, like, which one's your favorite?
Oh, Watson. 100%. Watson. I like both of them, but Sherlock does not do emotional labor for me to empathize with him or think of him as anything other than a goddamn... I'm sorry, how much cursing is allowed here?
I just... have a blanket explicit rating so I don't have to pay attention and bleep things out.
Great.
You can say whatever.
Sherlock Holmes is an asshole. And that is why he's a compelling character and that is why we love him. But if he was in charge of anything, no fic would ever be written because he does not care. He does not understand. It is almost always up to John to initiate the emotional conversation. And that's what I like reading and that's what I like writing. And so I just like Watson more as a person. He feels more real, you know?
That was actually one of my problems with the really classic movies, the Basil Rathbone ones. That they turned Watson into a moron.
Yeah, no.
So I don't like those.
Watson is very intelligent. He just has a different, slightly different kind of intelligence than Holmes.
Yeah. Everyone has a slightly different intelligence than Holmes.
Yes, that's the point. Like, that's the entire the whole point of this, like, couple is that Holmes is just weird.
Yeah. I was, for me, it was like, I was totally into Holmes, the pretty much at the same time as I got into Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So for me, Holmes, Sherlock Holmes and Mr. Spock.
Yes.
they were like my, when I was like early teens, for my first two fictional crushes.
Oh, that's adorable.
But yeah, so yeah, I did. in my head, they're kind of like on an equal plane.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can totally see that.
And they both have like the human better off.
Yes, which I think is important for that kind of character to translate well in media. Because yeah. without that better half, without having, like, they have to, I feel like they have to have a foil. Otherwise, they, at least for me, they're a less compelling character because they just are, and there's no reason for me to emotionally engage with them because they're not emotionally engaging with me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what Conan Doyle recognized,
yes.
right? That we need to see Sherlock Holmes through the eyes of like a normal person.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But yeah, Watson, definitely a big favorite as well for me. For me, he's absolutely the point of view character.
Exactly, like, yes. And so you're viewing Sherlock through this sympathetic lens, which I would not have if I was looking at Sherlock straight on. Because, again, he's an asshole.
I must say, I have the greatest admiration for people who manage to write a believable Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. Ooh, I have recs for that. I will give you links.
Nice. Very good. That's the kind of like a plus side and a minus side of this podcast. Mm-hmm. I always end up with massive reading lists. Because fandom is just so freaking talented.
It's so good. But what you should do is be like me and read 50,000 words of Dreary instead of doing your homework for your history class. Then you can read way more fic that way.
Yeah, it's kind of like it used to be that I used to read like 100 plus books a year. And then I found the AO3. Yes. And then I really fell into reading long fic.
Yes.
And yeah, and that number was reduced drastically.
Exactly.
Although I still don't read fanfic like, you know, on my e-reader or something. I only read it on my laptop, but still. So many hours.
I read it on my phone. Because I am always on my phone. I'm a millennial. I am a very young millennial, so I am constantly on my phone. And 85% of the time that I'm on my phone, I am on AO3. Which makes me feel slightly better about it, because I am, in fact, reading. Okay? If this was a hardback young adult novel, no one would be on my case for being on my phone. But I'm doing the exact same thing, just digitally. So
I
will flip anyone off who goes like, oh, you're just reading fan fiction, not actually reading? Like, screw you.
Not actually reading. It's like, excuse me, have you seen, like, the 200,000 word epic that someone put out there?
Like, this person wrote basically multiple Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the length of multiple, and they wrote that for free in their free time and just did it. Like,
and they did it well.
Exactly. My God. People, I just like have so much respect for fic writers, like, and just fan artists, just fandom in general. Like, good job. You do so much good stuff.
Absolutely. And it's all just comes from, you know, from love.
Yes.
It's like, we love that shit. So, you know, we want to make more of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry. Tangent. Whenever I get just,
it's an excellent
fandom.
Tangent.
I'm a big fan of
fandom. I'm in the fandom, frankly.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this podcast.
Yes.
It's like, I'm talking about, today with you, I'm talking about a fandom that I'm actually into. Mm-hmm. But I've been talking about anime. I've never in my life seen an anime.
Ooh, I am also not an anime person, but I have friends who are really into anime, and I kind of get this weird, like, two layers removed fandom, and that's always a really interesting experience.
Yeah, I just had two episodes, you know, with Honey and with Mel about anime, so Yeah, and it was really interesting because fandom, like I said, there's always like this common thread that we love it, and we want to make things for it. Shiny things.
All the pretty things.
Yeah. All the pretty things. So, yes. So, to get back to Sherlock Holmes. We already mentioned, you already mentioned that it's mostly Sherlock, BBC Sherlock based.
The fandom is, yeah.
But, yeah. But that side is still really active.
It is. It is extremely active. Huh. I'm pulling up the AO3 stats, I think. See, I'm going to browse. Sherlock Holmes works. God, I love AO3. I will stop going off on tangents.
No, tangents are good. I'm a fan.
Okay, but...
as long as they're nice, positive tangents. And these are very positive tangents.
Ah, that's what it's called. Sherlock Holmes and Related Fandoms. With 122,000 works. That is not bad.
Not bad?
Yeah. Okay. I forgot what the actual original question was.
If Sherlock, BBC Sherlock fandom is still very active today.
Sherlock TV. I'm looking at the most recently updated.
Yeah.
Mostly Sherlock TV. Sherlock and Real fan, Sherlock TV. Yeah, I think Sherlock TV specifically is the general tag as well. I'm actually not super great at looking at the tags of what fandom it's in.
Oh. Yeah.
Because I'm just like, yes, Sherlock Holmes, we're good. most of it's just Sherlock TV. So I think there's a general like the TV adaptations, but it is almost always like there's no, it's an elementary fic, for example, is always specifically tagged because it's so different. Fan art is almost always of BBC Sherlock, for example.
Yes, because Benedict Cumberbatch is so pretty.
I don't agree, but I understand that that's what fandom thinks. And if I want art, I will have to accept Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock. So, all right.
Yeah.
I don't agree with Benedict Cumberbatch's attractiveness levels, but whatever.
Different strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks.
Like I said, I'm a hipster. I try not to be. I'm not trying to be, but, you know, I have opinions.
Everyone has opinions. It's like, that's completely
absolutely not. I have done many a scree on fan art of Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock. It's the art is so pretty, the art is so good, and the artist put so much time and work into it, and it's so gorgeous, right?
Yeah, it's also something that keeps coming up on the podcast. It's that, you know, we all kind of like want to support each other, and that I don't understand people that don't.
Yes, like, what do you gain from yelling at other people about what they like? I don't understand this.
That's a reoccurring theme.
I have read fics by people and friends in fandoms that I'm not actually into and fell in love with the fic, even though I'm not in the fandom. Oh my god, I've read.
Rod, you don't. Yeah, you don't want to know how much Supernatural fic I've read.
I've read so much.
I've seen half a season.
My friend got me into the Suits fandom, and she has been telling me for a year, it's like, you just have to watch the pilot. And I keep meaning to watch the pilot, but I've never watched the pilot. And I've read so much Suits fic at this point, and I actually have a rough draft of a Suits fic.
I have
watched 0 minutes and 0 seconds of any of the canon.
Yeah, that's what I call fandom osmosis.
Yes.
It's like, I can totally talk with you about Harry Potter. I know so much.
Yes!
And I haven't read all the books. And I've only seen the first 2 movies.
But you still know what happened, and you can still talk about it, absolutely. Because fandom is so big and pervasive. Yeah. You can just absorb it from other people talking about it.
Yeah. It's like you read Sherlock fanfic, although you don't actually haven't seen most of the show.
Exactly.
Yes. So we established it's mostly Sherlock. And yes. Where do you interact? Is there, like, where does it happen, the Sherlock Holmes fandom? Is it
mostly for me on AO3? Or in general?
Yeah, well, for you.
Oh, for me, it's mostly on AO3. Mm-hmm. I try very hard to comment on fics that I read. I don't do a very good job, but my resolution for this year is to do better and actually comment on all the fics mm-hmm. I read. But yeah, most of my fandom interaction happens on AO3 with some stuff on Tumblr.
Yeah, because I guess for you, mm-hmm. Tumblr is very image heavy.
Yes.
That's not what you're mostly into.
Exactly. I'm mostly into written stuff.
Yeah.
So I am usually on AO3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually quite nice. I've been back on Dreamwidth again in the past couple of weeks. And it's quite, it's quite refreshing to be again in a more word-based environment.
I want to be on Dreamwidth, but I don't understand how to interact with it.
Yeah, it's completely different from Tumblr. Yeah.
Yes.
But for me, it's going back to the roots because I'm, mm-hmm. From LifeJournal, Dreamwidth, that was my place, my fandom place.
mm-hmm. See, my very first fandom experience was on fanfic.net, which I missed the LifeJournal days by a couple of years.
That's so weird because I left fanfic.net before I even joined LifeJournal. Because I left fanfic.net after they did the first adult fic and RPF purges.
Oh. So
when I started on fanfic.net, those were still allowed.
So was, yeah, they were still allowed when I was there too.
Yeah, but no, they deleted all the X-rated fic when I was there in early 2000.
Oh, wait, how old was I? Oh, you're right. You're right. I wasn't. That's. I think. Yeah. I think it's shocking because I read so much not safe for work stuff.
I'm sure people still post it, but they just.
Oh, they definitely did.
Yeah, so they just have to rate it M. But when I started out, they still allowed adult fic, and then they deleted all of it.
Oh Lord. Okay. Yeah, I was not around for that purge.
Yeah. So I left. And I never went back. So I don't. Whenever people are like, "Oh, I went," fanfic.net. That's after LifeJournal. For me, it was the completely different way around.
Before,
yeah.
I still occasionally get on fanfic.net. Actually, I still occasionally go there, even though the last update news wise was New Year's Eve 2017. But yeah. They still have a Twitter.
Yeah,
I don't follow the Twitter, but.
They have a Twitter. Okay, great. Yeah, no, I've seen during the podcast, quite a lot of my interview partners are also on fanfic.net, which reminded me that site even exists. I'm so AO3 focused. It's it's not even funny. Ever since LifeJournal went boom.
Yeah. Fandom, we have to keep, we're nomadic. We got to keep moving. You got to keep moving.
But now we have AO3.
We do.
Our own.
And it's so nice. Yeah. I was on... Good Lord, how long have I been on AO3? Well, I have been on AO3 long enough that I have 135 pages on my history.
Ooh. Okay. Not bad, not bad.
I know there have definitely been, there's definitely people who've been longer, but I feel like that's a solid.
Yeah.
From 2013, I think. So when that was the very last page. I last visited this fic. Mm-hmm. 20 random facts about Luna Lovegood. Last visited August 7th, 2013.
Of course, Harry Potter.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I see my first fic. You just made me curious. Is July 30th, 2009.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Well played, I hope. A Jack Harkness, Yanto Jones fic. Yeah. That was, oh, and then, oh, it's really fascinating. Then I read apparently a couple of Top Chef RPF. My history. I'm really glad that I never deleted that. That's oh, really yeah. funny.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely would never delete my AO3 history.
No, I've been with the OTW since the beginning.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good.
I got like my 10-year medal last year.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was like completely detour again.
I keep doing that. I'm sorry.
No, I'm worse. I'm the one who's supposed to keep us on track. Bad. Not great, but bad.
Okay.
Snapping my hand. Anyway. Yeah, so you already said that you like fic that kind of gives you, even if it's the modern Sherlock, that has like the characters seem true
yes.
to the original canon. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And you find that a lot in...
I do. I do think that's partially a function because of just how big the fandom is and how many fics there are. So, like, if there's 122,000 fics, you're going to find something that you like, unless you are in rare pair hell, which for Sherlock is kind of anything that's not Holmes and Watson, yeah. frankly. But I am not. So there's a lot of stuff that I really like. But I really do enjoy stories that are focused on their relationship that has a lot of dialogue. That has a lot mm-hmm. of, especially stuff that's first person point of view, so we can hear John's thoughts.
Yes.
I'm not usually a fan of first person point of view, but in Sherlock, I really do like first person yeah. point of view yeah. because I like that intimacy.
Mm-hmm. And it does, you know, it does come stem all the way from the original source. I mean,
yes. It's originally written in first person.
Yep. And is there like other like common tropes and fanons and stuff that you particularly enjoy?
Asexual Sherlock is a pretty decently large trope, which I really do enjoy. I do like it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting read of his character. I think whenever an asexual Sherlock Holmes is shipped with Watson, it always leads to a really interesting conversation regarding like what are the fundamentals of a relationship, what makes something mm-hmm. a relationship, what does it mean to ship characters, if like the and kind of the separation between like romantic shipping and sexual shipping. It brings in a lot of really interesting conversation topics, and it usually means that Sherlock and Watson have to have a conversation about it, and I love mm-hmm. relationship conversations. Mm-hmm. Those are excellent. There's a really, really wonderful fic that I read that has an asexual Sherlock and a straight Watson who are married.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
oh, okay.
Yes, exactly. It was amazing and wonderful. And I will send you a link as soon as I find it.
Yeah, so it's not just like a mismatch on like as asexual, allosexual, but also on the romantic orientation scale.
Yes.
Interesting. And they make it work.
They made it work. They made it work, and I thought that was just fascinating in like what is a relationship and how you can self-define mm-hmm. relationships, which is really refreshing, because like Valentine's Day was what, 3 days ago, and that holiday just annoys me.
The only thing I liked about it is that I got free ebooks from a publisher.
Ooh, so. That Yay! Would be an excellent Valentine's Day present. Like, I am polyamorous and I still hate Valentine's Day, so.
No, see, I'm aromantic, asexual, so.
Oh boy, that must be a special kind of hell for you.
Oh no, I'm not, because I'm not repulsed.
Ah.
You know?
So you're just.
For other people, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fiction, I enjoy it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm the one with the shipping podcast, you know?
Fair. Like, fair.
Yeah. I just don't want it for myself. So, yeah. As long as, you know, as long as people don't bother me with it,
mm-hmm.
go ahead. Be happy.
Nice. That is an excellent place to be.
Sexualize. Whatever. Just... not with me.
Yes. Oh, that is an excellent place to be.
Yeah, I think I'm in quite a lucky spot in that I, you know, it's for me, it's easy to navigate, like, especially fandom places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That way. While a lot of asexual people who are kind of sex repulsed,
they have a hard
time.
Yeah.
Because we do like our smut, don't we?
We do. That was a word. I have yet to find. So to, you know, to just beat the stuffing out of this point. I like written stuff more than visual stuff, so I don't actually watch visual porn. I always read my smut and erotica. Also, if it's written, you can call it erotica instead of porn, and then you sound more like high class. And honestly, fandom smut and erotica blows all other erotica just completely out of the water. Completely. Yeah. It's just, like, so well written. Okay.
and also has such a, you know, wide variety.
Yes.
Of representation. It's like, you know, you can find everything.
Yes.
What was it? Rule 39? Is it?
Wait, is that 39 or 34? Yes, it's rule 34. If it exists,
34.
There's part of it.
And if it's on, and if you find it in fandom, then you at least have a chance that it's good.
Exactly.
So yeah, but yes, back to Sherlock. It's like the catchphrase of this podcast. Back to Sherlock.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally see the asexual Sherlock. Yeah, that was something that I always saw as well as a very plausible headcanon.
Yes.
And yeah, are there any other like, are there a lot of AUs and stuff? I mean, I guess modern Sherlock is kind of an AU.
Kind of. There aren't as many AUs as I would expect, although I've read a couple of really good ones. It was like an alpha beta. It was an Omegaverse AU, which is shocking because I don't like. It was very well written. It was wonderful and amazing.
Yeah.
I find it really. Sorry, go on.
Yeah.
Sorry. I find it really interesting that there isn't actually like an overwhelming fandom preference for top Sherlock or bottom Sherlock. There's kind of. There's actually a good amount of split and a good amount of variety.
Yeah.
A lot of fandoms have a kind of like strict bind of like, this character is always the top and this character is always the bottom. And I don't see that as much in Sherlock Holmes. There's a lot of switching and in fics where there's like a defined role. Some fics have Sherlock as the top, some fics have John as the top. It's really varied, and there's a lot of variety, and that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I'm just kind of in my head. I usually have a preference, although I like it when they switch as a rule, but I usually have kind of like a secret hankering for one more than the other. But with Sherlock and Watson, because I mean it might be that they really strike me as like this equal pairing.
Yes.
It's like, because they both have strength in so different areas, so they just complement each other. And it would make sense that in bed they might also kind of
switch. And in canon, there's so much of them, like, in general life outside of the bedroom. There is so much of John is currently dragging Holmes to go do this thing because, goddamn, he can't function as a human. And then Holmes is dragging John to this new crime scene because it's amazing and I need to do this right now. And because they're both doing that to each other, there's no feeling of this one character is usually in charge or the other character. Yeah.
They just have their own areas of expertise.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
That said, I prefer Top John.
You prefer Top John? That is valid.
Not necessarily so, sexually, but in general.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else like about the general fandom before we move on to the specific recommendations?
No, I think that's just the general fan. I think that's a lot. That's most of my perceptions of the general fandom, which, again, at least for me, is very constrained towards AO3 with slight tangents towards Tumblr.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, are there still a lot of, like, old time fans around, like from the pre-internet days, like when you, I was in professionals fandom, and there were quite a lot of fans around who've been in professionals fandom since the zine days.
Oh, wow.
Which I assume Sherlock Holmes must have had as well.
Oh, of course. I'm sure there have been studies, and Sherlock Holmes is one of the oldest fandoms I know. Mm-hmm. But on AO3, I don't know a whole lot of personal information about the authors, so I actually don't know.
Yeah.
But there aren't very many fics that take place in, like, canon period.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess that's something that kind, that's not so, actually I was, someone else just complained about it to me the other day that Rex list, lists,
yes,
aren't so much a thing anymore.
Oh.
I mean, you know, like in, when I Google, like, pairing whatever I want to right now plus Rex, I almost always end up on LifeJournal with posts that are like 10 years old.
Really?
Because on LJ, you had those all these Rex blogs that did nothing but recommend stuff.
Interesting. Because I feel like that exists on Tumblr. At least it did when I had a more personal fandomy blog a couple years ago. So this blog, my new internet identity, is I'm trying to create a new personal slash fandom slash dump all my interests into a blog, and so I'm still curating that. But I want to say a couple years ago, when I was still heavily in fandom Tumblr, there were definitely Rex lists going around.
Okay.
It's just impossible to find anything on Tumblr because search is garbage.
that might actually be more the problem than, because for me, those Rex, those were often quite a nice way to see, like, to get a sense of, like, the fandom history.
Yes.
Because you would see, like, the same fics that have been around for, like, ages and ages just because they're so good. Like,
exactly.
Fandom classics.
Yes.
Which is, like, I know, like, for the MCU, I know, like, there's this Stucky library.
Yes.
Which is, you know, which is, that's kind of goes in that direction because they're very well organized. So you can actually find stuff. But, yeah. But I guess that's a lot of work that people would have to do. Especially for a fan like Sherlock.
Yes, which has so much canon.
Yeah.
Yes.
And such a history. But yeah. But now I'm kind of curious. Now I kind of want to check, see if I can find, like, old school Sherlock thing.
There's a PhD thesis in this.
Must be. I mean, that must be.
There's
around.
A PhD thesis in this.
Yeah, it's like it just reminds me of like the other, like, old school fandoms like Star Trek and stuff that have been around for such a long time.
Yes,
and that is a drawback of, I just noticed that actually today I was looking up some, like, in my own, I have my own Rex blog mostly for my own purposes. And I was just, like, I was talking to other people about, like, one of my old fandoms. I was in Bandom. And then I was kind of like, what fix did I wreck? One! Because I only started that stupid thing in 2015. So it's completely not, like, it doesn't reflect my fandom history at all. So I have to rectify that. Today I went into my ebook collection, and I recommended those fics that I can still find. Yeah, this fandom history is,
it's fascinating.
It's just, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, I'm really sorry. Now this time I just completely went off.
It's okay. I've done it like 8 times already. It's okay.
So, what kind of fics do you like to read then?
So, the two fics... Wait, is this asking for my Rex, or is this asking for a... Okay.
I'm asking for your Rex.
Okay, great.
I'm asking for your
So, the
Rex.
Two fics that I want to wreck, the first one is the asexual Sherlock, straight John, and they're married fic. It's a relatively short fic, but, like, oh my god, it opened my eyes to a whole new world. And I think everyone should read it. So I'm recommending that one. And then the other one I would recommend is an Omegaverse AU of Sherlock. Well, it's an Omegaverse AU. And it is vaguely medieval-ish, but basically Sherlock Holmes is a dick, as one, as you know, as he is.
Yes.
Canonical. Wait, no, I take that back. That was not a Sherlock Holmes AU. That was a Hannibal AU. Never mind.
How can you?
Oh my god. I should have my Sherlock Holmes fandom ID taken away from me.
Yes.
Oh my god.
How can you?
But anyway, yes. Sherlock Holmes Rex.
Yes.
Oh my god. There is, can I recommend a BDSM AU?
Absolutely. You can it recommend whatever you want.
It is a really, really good, sometimes painful to read, very difficult. There are relationship complications and poor communication that needs to be fixed, but they try really hard kind of fic. I will post it with all of the content warnings because it does have some, but I will find a fic that does not have a bajillion content warnings. And I will wreck that as well. Yeah, my thing is, I don't remember titles. I can't remember titles to save my life. So all I can do is, I know it was tagged with this and hope I remember the tags.
Well, in this case, people will just really have to check out the show notes.
Yes, for this check the podcast, show notes, guys. Then. It's great. The show notes are honest. It will be great.
Yes. It will be great.
The show notes are such a good part of podcasts. I love podcasts, but I'm like, I always check the show notes.
Oh, and in this case, yes, they're just absolutely necessary. It's like, even, you know, even when people remember the names of things, it's always nice to have an actual link. So you don't accidentally end up somewhere you don't want.
Okay. As for literally all of the other fics to read, you will also get links to them because I can't come up with them off the top of my head because I did not do my pre-work for this podcast, and I apologize.
So. But you, and you said that you're mostly into the written stuff, so I guess asking you for a visual fan work recommendations.
Non-ideal, but I do have favorite fan art. I do have fan art. I don't have GIFs or vids, but I do have fan art that I can link to you, that I can link you to.
Yeah.
One of them is like straight up not safe for work and involves naked people, but.
Okay. So I can't link that on Tumblr then. Thank you, Tumblr.
Because Tumblr has gone to pot. Yeah. But I think it was actually on AO3. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because usually, like, especially the visual stuff, I reblog on Tumblr. On the podcast Tumblr.
Okay. But yeah,
in that case, people will just have to read the show notes.
Yes.
No two ways about it.
Blame Tumblr.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Tumblr is a garbage site.
Well, I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect site, but...
Tumblr's pretty bad. And yet, here I am.
So yeah, so you will have to send me all the links.
Okay, I will send you all the links.
Very good. And then, yes?
So nominating the next person in the chain, I am messaging them right now, actually. And hopefully they will say yes and they will get in touch with you.
So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that they will say yes.
Yes.
So, and if people want to find you online, they can do so on Tumblr, we already established, right?
Yes, they can find me on Tumblr. I am at TheLordGrey. Grey is spelled G-R-E-Y .tumblr.com. But I also have a podcast. If you want to listen to my podcast, mine is not as fun as this one. Mine is...
What's it about?
It is... Actually, let me just find the blurb and I'll read it. But it's... Yes. I don't like calling it a productivity podcast. Because that's not quite what it is. Because productivity podcasts are usually made by a bunch of old men who already have a bunch of money. And I am none of the above. But yeah, and I'll send you a link to the blog and the first episode. But It is a podcast about journeys, creativities, and beverages. And
okay.
Yeah. And we do talk about productivity and self-growth, mm-hmm. but we talk about it because we like taking on new projects and doing new things, and we want to live a life in which we are happy with what we do. And so the podcast is us basically talking about our journey towards that. And it's a never-ending journey, of course. Mm-hmm. I go by a different name on that podcast because, of course, I do. I can do that because it's the internet. for there, I go by Tony. And that Tumblr, in which I talk about like my writing and my quote-unquote serious portfolio stuff, tonybdsamson.tumblr.com. But yeah, that's what I do on the internet. I write fic under the Lord Grey. I will post some at some point eventually, I promise. And I do serious life stuff over at tonybdsamson.tumblr.com.
Oh, great.
Yes.
I will definitely also link to all of this and to listen to your podcast. Oh, I promise.
Thank you.
Sounds really interesting.
Thank you.
Is it like a group thing?
It's me and it's myself and my friend. We are both humanities creative people. We both majored in history. Well, they majored in history. They're graduated. I am currently majoring in history, but we also work in tech, and we talk a lot about trying to find that balance. But yeah, that's what I do in my other lives.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining me. It was great fun.
Thank you so much for inviting me and doing this with me. This was wonderful. It was a great break from my actual homework that I should be doing that I have not been doing at all.
Well, where you live, it's still quite early in the day, isn't it? You still have time.
Yeah, it's 11 a.m.
Oh, see that. But I've also been completely acceptable.
But I've also been awake for 4 hours already, so.
Procrastination.
It's the best.
What would we do without it? We would get things done. That would be horrible.
Exactly. Like, oh Lord, what would the world do without my absolutely terrible Tumblr post that I make when I'm procrastinating?
And without me live squeeing over the latest Guardian episode.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. All right. It was great doing this with you.
Yes, definitely.
If I can come on a second time, that would be amazing. I promise to do the pre-work this time. you know, in a few months, in a few years, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll probably be in 5 million different fandoms by then. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea.
This wraps up the 8th episode of the Shipping Podcast. I hope you had as much fun listening as we had talking. In the meantime, Grey has provided me with links to their favorite fan works, so do check out the show notes, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's spelled fandom, ish.net. As for my next guest, unfortunately, Grey's contact didn't work out, but luckily I found another volunteer in the form of Neon Crayons. You might remember them from their feedback on the Tony Bruce episode as Science Husbands. And we'll be talking about Ruby and the ship of Blake Belladonna and Yang Zhaolong. It will be the very first femslash pairing for this podcast, and I'm very much looking forward to talking about Bumblebee. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_Cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. Actually, if you head over to patreon.com/shippingcast, there's a poll up right now about the prospective topic for the very first special episode. Voting is open until March 1st.
There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/Shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcost.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled S-H-I-R-A-S-A-D-E, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on Shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as Shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
I can now go with. There is a difference. Sherlock is a dick, but he's not a
cannibal.
He's not on the same level as
Hannibal. Well, I mean, in this fic, Hannibal wasn't a cannibal.
Okay.
Oh my god. Sorry. It had.